Memorial Care Health System, excellence in healthcare, presents Weekly Dose of Wellness. Here's your host, Deborah Howell.
Hello and welcome to the show. You are listening to Weekly Dose of Wellness brought to you by Memorial Care Health System. I'm Deborah Howell. Today our guest is Cindy McFarland. She's a registered nurse manager of the Jonathan Jacques Children's Cancer Center at Miller Children's Hospital Long Beach Outpatient Clinic. She's worked at Miller Children's for 26 years in both the inpatient and outpatient settings. As a registered nurse, Cindy provides information to help parents of children with cancer know what to expect and how to cope with a cancer diagnosis. Welcome, Cindy.
Good morning.
Boy, am I glad they have you. 26 years. I mean, you certainly know your stuff, and I'm sure you've made so many families feel so much better.
Well, I love what I do, and I love, love, love my patients.
You know what? I've never even met you, and I can just feel it over the phone. You know, a cancer diagnosis is especially devastating in a child. So what advice can you give to parents after they receive this difficult news?
Well, the first day is obviously a blur. Patient, once they hear that word cancer, most everything that the doctor says after that doesn't really register.
Sure.
So the first thing we want to tell the patients is, this isn't the first time we're going to have a discussion. We're going to have lots and lots and lots of discussions after this.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just not panic. Do not panic.
Right.
And I think the important message is that however the parent acts and perceives, that's the children is going to get a cue from that.
Sure.
So if you can somehow muster enough strength and bravery to face what's coming next, so can your child.
Okay.
And that is very, very important.
Be a role model. What are some ways to improve coping for parents and families?
Well, the first thing is keep a notebook. So you're going to get a lot of material. You're going to get a lot of conversations with the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Keep a notebook. Keep all the paperwork together in one place. Write down questions. Sometimes you might not have questions when the doctor is physically speaking to you, but later on in the night or the next day, you might have a question or a concern. Write
mm-hmm.
it down so
yeah.
that then when you do meet with any of the medical professionals, you have your questions in front of you and you can ask those questions and they can be addressed.
Definitely
so
keep a notebook.
One thing.
Keep a little notepad by your bed at night, because often when you're trying to fall asleep, that's when those questions arise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we really encourage that. And then we encourage you to bring that with you to every appointment, to every meeting that you have with the medical professionals.
Good.
And then the second advice is to, you need to lean on people. And oftentimes people think that, you know, I've got to be isolated. I've got to do this all by myself. You are never alone. Never alone. So pull your family in. Pull in your friends, your neighbors. Let them do what they need to help you. So we encourage maybe not everybody coming to the hospital and spending hours just sitting at the bedside, but
mm-hmm.
maybe there's some things they can do at home to help you or
yeah.
bring you new clothes or
yeah.
take the other children to school. So it's very important to involve your support staff,
Very
your support
good.
System.
Now, what are some of the other things parents and families should be aware of when talking to their child about the diagnosis?
The first thing is we have to adjust everything that we, when we speak to the child, based on their age and maturity. So, you know, a young child doesn't understand some of the technical terms as opposed to maybe a teenager.
Mm-hmm,
but
sure.
we try to be honest. We try to be upfront. We try to not, we're not keeping secrets, but we don't need to give a lot of details or a lot of long-term information.
Right.
Children usually want to know what's going to happen today
mm-hmm.
and maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
And then that gives them some reassurance. And then, you know, we can get through those 2 days and then we can work on the next two. And
okay.
that's sort of how we approach it when we talk
okay.
to children about their
okay.
diagnosis.
Very good. Now, it's also important for parents and families to consider contacting their child's school to tell them what's going on. So what do you recommend for families and how much they share with the school?
Well, it is important for the school to know. You know, here in Los Angeles, you know, people keep attendance, and, you know, when the child's missing, you know, it sends some red flags. So almost an immediate contact to the school is helpful for everyone.
Okay.
And then we have, you know, we have social workers and psychologists and people who can help the child. I mean, the child's going to miss school, miss their friends. So we help them adjust from the hospital end, and then we just keep contact with the school as far as how long we think they'll be out and when would be appropriate to return. And if it's going to be a long-term thing, we do homeschool or independent study, and we can help arrange all those things. So the child doesn't miss really a beat in their education, which is very important.
That's awesome. And what type of support is available specifically for children and families dealing with a cancer diagnosis?
We have a lot of support groups. We have a sibling support group. We have a parent support group. We have a teen support group. But initially, support group may be a little bit more than they want to handle at the initial diagnosis. It may be something that comes a little bit later. We do initially try, if it's appropriate, to connect maybe one family or one parent with another parent that has a similar child of age, similar diagnosis. They can sort of support each other through kind of crucial time. And then later, when things are a little bit calmer and more adjusted and a little less intense, then we can invite them to the support group depending on the age and stage that they're in.
Yeah, it's almost like a mentoring situation. Like, we've been there.
Exactly.
We'll get you through. It's so important to not face it alone.
Very, very important. And I think, you know, different cultures and different family backgrounds, you know, sometimes they think that, you know, this is something that, you know, we shouldn't share, but you're never alone because you always have the medical staff and the nurses and the doctors there to help you. But, you know, you don't know us like you know your friends and family.
Right.
So I think it is important that you involve them and they want to help. Usually they're coming, say, what can we do? How can we help you? What do you need? And oftentimes parents just, they're not really sure what they need or how somebody could help them, but let them do what they're offering to do, and that really does ease the pain.
That's such great advice. Will the child and the family ever return to quote unquote normal after a cancer diagnosis?
Will the child go back to school? Almost for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Will the family get to go home to their house? Absolutely. Will they, you know, do the things that they used to do, like, you know, go on family vacations? And absolutely. Will the normal be the same normal? Maybe not.
Yeah.
There was something that triggered that initial visit to the hospital or visit to the doctor's office, whether it be a fever or a child, you know, didn't feel good for several days. And everything is different. And every time that child or another child in that same family has those same symptoms, it is going to send some anxiety.
Sure.
And we know that and we recognize that, but it is okay. And it I would say almost always is never this again, but we understand that parents are more nervous, more diligent in having their child checked by the doctor because they have this experience.
And who can blame them?
Of course not. And that's perfectly normal. And we recognize that, certainly as nurses, when we get a phone call from a parent, even if their child, you know, completed their therapy and all, you know, everything is okay now, you know, oh, he had a fever last night and I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Of course they're afraid.
Yeah, yeah.
And we recognize that. And most health professionals do.
Before we run out of time, I do want to ask this question. Where can our listeners call if they want more information on the support offered at the Jonathan Jacques Children's Cancer Center at Miller Children's?
Well, we do have a web page which has a lot of information on it, and it is millerchildrens.org/cancer.
Why don't we say that one more time, real slow.
Okay. MillerChildrens, with an S, .org/cancer. And
great.
That has a lot of information about our support group, about the different services that we offer. And then, of course, the phone number for the Jonathan Jaques Cancer Center is 562-933-8600. And people there could help you and direct you to questions and resources that you might need.
Cindy, we thank you for 26 years and probably more than that for your gigantic heart in this very, very poignant area in people's lives.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me.
To listen to the podcast or for more information, please visit memorialcare.org. That's memorialcare.org. I'm Deborah Howell. Join us again next time as we explore another weekly dose of wellness brought to you by Memorial Care Health System. Have yourself a wonderful, healthy day.